I'm so excited right now to introduce this next guy because Nathan Helsley, you not only are you a Marine and we're honoring you on Veterans Day, we're going to praise God for you. Come on up here, buddy. You know, this right here was like when I think, as I said before, the first baby born after I came to this church. Is that about right? When's your birthday?
March 16th.
Yeah. Yeah. If you weren't the first, you were about the first. So, you know, I was there. And, you know, it's great to be here now and see God doing such a powerful work in his life. You know, I've been praying for Nathan. I've loved this guy since he was a baby. And to see God bring him and do what he's been doing, I'm just so thrilled and excited. He wants to share some testimony with you today. Testimony, not about himself, but it involves him, but it's about what God is doing, has done, and is going to do. Nathan.
All right. Bless you.
A little nervous, guys. I'm not going to lie. I'm shaking a lot. I don't know if that's the coffee or just the overall nervousness. I didn't know what God's gonna do with me while I'm up here. As I was writing a testimony, I was having a hard time writing a testimony, and I was writing a sermon. So I don't know what's gonna happen. I just said we'll see. We'll just see. I'll just start reading, and we'll see where it goes from there. And as you all know, a couple weeks ago I went to Men's Encounter, and it really changed my life. I highly recommend it to anyone. But a couple years ago, I heard about it, and God told me the second I heard about it, I was going to end up going, and it's going to change my life. And I ran. I pulled the Jonah. And I ran as fast as I could because I didn't want to change. I knew it'd be the end of my old life. And the devil knew it too. He knew that his great lie would finally be exposed. For so many years, I thought that what I was exposed to as a child, I had to carry my whole life. I can't get into much detail here, but I will get in a little bit. And at a young age, I was taught how not to love the person that a young boy should love the most. A young boy should love his mother the most, and I was taught not to love her anymore. It may not have been the intention, but that's how I took it. And it destroyed me. It absolutely destroyed me. And when I forgot how to love my mother, I forgot how to love anything, including myself. I had a loaded gun in my mouth before I was 10 years old. But God spoke to me then. And I knew I couldn't pull the trigger, and he had a better future for me. And then I think it was around 12 years old when the true rebellion started. I started to act out against it and turn towards Satan. I started drinking. I started doing some drugs at 12. And I found myself, I found self-worth in being a cool kid, because I felt totally worthless. And being a cool kid was how I coped. And by the time I was 16, I was hosting most of the parties in my age group, and I was the cool kid on the block. And I found pride in that. And guys, pride's how the devil got kicked out of heaven. And that's another thing. I left my pride at home. I didn't, and this is no place for it. And anyways, I got to get back to it. 2 days after I turned 18, I joined the United States Marine Corps. I joined out of rebellion and trying to find the ultimate self-worth. I figured that's where I'll find it. Everybody will look at me like, you know, I'm I'm some kind of king because I'm a Marine. And I'll tell you, a private and the Marines, you don't find much self-worth. You're not worth nothing there. And they don't call us Uncle Sam's misguided children, just to be funny, because it's true. Almost all the guys there were in the same boat I was in. That's why the Marines are what they are, because I'm telling you, they are, I mean, they're the product of broken homes, almost all of them. And it's hard to find a righteous man in the Marines, and that's just putting it out there. And I know I wasn't. So we all searched and searched and searched for the self-worth, and then we thought we had found it in the bottle. And we kept, and every chance we got the bottle in our hands, and we just drank our pain away. And then after God had told me that I was going to go to Men's Encounter and I didn't really have a choice and I was going to change, I was running. And all right, I'm getting lost again. Hang on. Let me get back in here. I actually prayed that he would get me there somehow. I didn't know how he's going to do it, but I prayed that he'd get me there. And but still, Satan just held me back and wouldn't let me go, because when you live in sin, you listen to Satan, and that's all you want to do. Everything comes out of your mouth, sin, perverted, everything. Everything I did was sin, everything. And it was all just a big cover-up. It was a great lie, guys. It was such a lie. And I didn't... Satan's not called the great deceiver for no reason. He deceived me, and he deceived me good. But I prayed that he'd get me there, and then I seen Ethan, my brother-in-law, went. And I was like, oh gosh, another Men's Encounter guy coming back. Here we go. And then Ethan showed up, and then as expected, came back a changed man, a free man. And he asked me the second he seen me if I wanted to go, and I told him no. 25-year-old bachelors don't go to Men's Encounter. We go out and we party and have a wild lifestyle. I said, you're crazy. And he said, I'm not going to push it on you. I want to pray. And little did I know, from that day on, I had such conviction, them prayers were being answered every single day from then on. And they hit me like a ton of bricks. And sorry, I'm lost. I'm everything I did that I thought was fun started to hurt, both mentally and physically. And my group of friends were starting to just dwindle. I was getting to where I only had two really good friends that I hung out with, and one of them sitting right over here, Felicia. I went over to her house. I went over there all the time. And when I seen all this stuff just slipping away, I was slipping into a depression. It was fueled by loneliness in the bottle. I thought, I don't have any friends anymore. I don't have anybody to go party with. I don't have anything to do anything with. And I was starting to get to rock bottom again. Everyone I talked to, I was just full of self-pity. poor me, I don't have anybody. Everyone's getting married and having kids, and I'm just here, and there's no way you could be happy without a wife and kids. And that is a great lie, too, because that is definitely false. And the conviction from all the prayers started getting to me. And when I went to the boat, we got one guy that's a steadfast Christian, very outgoing. And I started reading my Bible, and I told him, I don't know where to start. You know, I guess I'll just start at the beginning. And he goes, well, read Ecclesiastes, John, then Philippians. And I read them, and Ecclesiastes really made me look at everything differently. And all of King Solomon's word does, man, it's great stuff. And that really, that was the first spark that lit the fire. From then on, I went back to John and read all the way to the end of the New Testament. And over the next few months, I went to Genesis and read all the way back to Matthew. I read the whole Bible. And I just couldn't stop. I got a lot of spare time on the boat, so that gave me... God made it to where he made it where I could. And where was that? The next time I went home, Ethan was going back to Men's Encounter, and I almost asked him if I could go, but the devil still had me. He still had me with pride and fear of change. That was the biggest thing, because I knew that I wasn't going to be the same guy anymore. Because God told me. I didn't realize that was God telling me. A long time ago, I thought it was just me. I thought it was just my voice in my head. And then now I know how to read God. And before I came up here, he was just saying, be at peace. Be at peace. You're going to be fine. And here I am. I'm fine. And I'm trying to find my spot right now. So got a little print, and I'm kind of blind, so I'm working on it. Ethan came back. That weekend was terrible. The conviction was so great, there was nothing I could do to run from it. Nothing at all. Everything I did to run from the conviction or the prayers, because that's what they were. They were answered prayers, knocking at my door. It just seemed to all make it worse. So the day after Ethan got back, I said, I'm going. I give in. I'm going. The seas got rough, guys, and I need to be thrown in and swallowed by the great fish and spit out a new man. And I came out a new man. Oh, it's awesome. I went, and God revealed Satan's great plan. He showed me that my childhood wasn't what was holding me back at all. It wasn't. He showed me that the beer and the promiscuous lifestyle, that was a big facade. It was something that covered up the root sin, what was really holding me back. And then I was so focused on that guilt from that root sin, or not from the root sin, but from the lifestyle I was living, I didn't have any time to look for the root sin. I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know at all, because I was just so guilty. And, oh, man, Satan's such a good deceiver. He knows what he's doing. And like I said, I had no idea. And then that was Satan's second phase of his plan. And he knew that his first phase had to be kept a secret, or it would all fail. It would all come crashing down. And he had chains around my heart, and he knew where the weak link was. So he used all the other links, keep me busy looking at them so I wouldn't see the weak link. And a couple months before I went, God started making it easy for me to put down the alcohol and push away the women and live a fairly pure lifestyle. And I didn't know why it was becoming so easy. And when I got to Men's Encounter, I realized why, and it was so I can focus on this one root sin. Y'all want to know what it was? Guys, it was resentment. I thought that the person that did that to me, I was so resentful towards them that it was holding me back. It was my sin. It wasn't him. It wasn't him. He repented for it. He didn't do it anymore. That's repentance. He said sorry, and then he quit doing it. He didn't do it anymore. So I got to forgive him. And we got to do the same thing. Amen. We have to. Right. It says, I mean, Jesus says it over and over. How can he forgive us if we don't forgive others? Right. And man, that one sin. Guys, I went and I seen that man. And I told him I forgive him for real. Because I told him before, I was lying. I told him I'm sorry for lying and I'm sorry for resenting you the whole time. And guys, I'll tell you what, I broke them chains and it feels awesome. He lit a fire in me and now I'm trying to burn everybody with that fire. I love it. Oh, I love it. When he gets that fire and you just can't keep it calm. This isn't a chore coming to church. It's what I think about all the time is getting here. I can't wait. I can't wait to come here. And if you dread going to church, there's something wrong. There's something holding you back, and the devil's deceived you. He doesn't want you to figure it out. He kept me from the time I was pretty much 7 years old to now that I didn't know that my resentment was holding me back. Guys, if there's anybody out there that you really hold it, that you hold a grudge at all against, that you talk bad about, you got to forgive them. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. I'm telling you, it'll break your chains and it will set you free, and there's nothing like it. I'd never seen the joy. I'd always seen the joy. I'd never felt it. And I don't know if I was truly saved or not, but I know I am now. Amen. I know I am now. I just couldn't fathom it. Like, how are all these people so happy? You know, when you come to church, how are they so happy? I've never been happy. Never. I've been happy and I'd had fun, but I'd never experienced joy. And said the other day, I was doing plumbing and it was the best day of my life. I was singing praise the whole time, and because I broke them chains that day. And I worked the rest of the day, and like I said, it was seriously the best day of my life. And guys, it's only getting better. Everyone says after you get back from Men's Encounter, it's going to go away after a couple weeks. But how obedient are you? Are you staying obedient? Are you going out and serving? Guys, getting out and serving, that will do more than you'll ever dream of. That'll keep the fire lit. And go out and burn people with it. Set them ablaze. And you got to serve. You got to serve. You got a gift. You got to share it. And when you get that gift, man, woo, man, it'll set you free. Melvin, I'll give it to you. I think I'm done, but thanks for all the prayers, guys. I couldn't have did it without it, and it got me to Men's Encounter. And guys, if you're perfect and don't need to go, don't go. But nobody here is perfect, and whatever excuse you're telling yourself, it's not you telling yourself that excuse. It's Satan telling you. He's going to do everything he can. Everything he can to keep you from going. He did me. And finally, everyone's prayers kicked in. And that conviction worked so hard, I couldn't run from it anymore. So, thanks, guys.
Amen. Yeah. Hey. Amen. Amen. You think we're not thankful for you, brother?
Oh, I know.
Amen. You've gone through some times.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. This is what happens whenever you finally get yourself in a place to where God gets past all those walls that you've got built up, that the enemy's helped erect in your life, and all of a sudden you'll get to the root of the matter.
Yeah.
And the chains come off. Amen. Jesus said, yeah, you shall know the truth and what? It'll set you free. Freedom. Amen. And that's what we're all about is freedom. Freedom.